Welcome to the Penny and Pops podcast. He's Spencer Penny Strode. I'm Adam Pops Papa Giorgio. Hope Magic fans have been kind of enjoying this week so far because it's about to ramp up real quick with the playoffs. But it's this downtime's been much needed, especially considering how kind of stressful the last week was. And then Sunday, everybody was a nervous wreck. And then it turned into elation because, you know, we clinched the top six seed. And you know, the team's had a few days off, and now they're practicing and gearing up for their playoff run that's going to begin Saturday afternoon in Cleveland. We're going to talk about the playoff schedule a little bit, but this show is actually to look back on our season predictions that we made back in October, right before the actual regular season started. And just in that way, we'll discuss a little bit some of the players and just kind of how the year kind of panned out. But it's always fun to see how smart or how dumb we look. For me, it's always both one way or another. Like, I look really good in some instances, and other instances, I don't look so good. But we are going to do an actual series preview show, though, next episode. But it won't be this one. So enjoy this. Let's go.
Hardaway straight down the lane. The power jam. Point guard on the 7-6 guy. Here's Lewis turning and he shoots. Yes! With 4:10 seconds to go.
Here's Turkaloo for the win.
Goodness. All right. I'm just going to hop into just our 2023-2024 season predictions that we made, Penny. All right. I mean, yeah, the Magic, they just had their first practice in preparation for this Cavs series that starts Saturday at 1 p.m. Everybody's healthy. Let's hope it stays like that. But let's get into the predictions here, and we'll talk about stuff after those. But all right, Penny. So we did a series of questions, obviously, like we do every year. The first one I came out of the gate with was over under a combined 12 and a half G League games for Anthony Black and Jet Howard. I went over. Penny, what was your input?
Yeah, I went under, so I missed this one really bad. And let me just say quickly, obviously the Magic had their regular season victory lap on Sunday. And I think our episode today is going to be your victory lap for this year with a lot of great predictions that you made and me not so much.
I have one really bad one, to be fair, that might be worse than any of yours that might seem bad. I do have one very bad one. But, yeah, Jet Howard on his own just crushed the over. So, next question we had was over under 49.5 regular season games for Jonathan Isaac, which at that point, you know, J.I. hadn't come close to 50 in years. So this was a very optimistic question by my standards, but I thought, well, his contract's on the line, so it probably means he's going to hit the over, and I went over. What'd you go with, Penny?
I went under, and I think the fun question for next year is probably instead of games played, maybe it's minutes played, because it seems like, as we talked about last show, that the Magic may have found something here in terms of the minute restriction and you know, keeping him on that program moving forward, so that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, so Isaac, the answer was over. He played 58 games this season. He started two of them, I believe, or three. I can't remember now. But, he surprisingly hit the over because, well, you know, his money's on the line here, too. And it's funny how that works out sometimes. But, all right, next question is, will the Magic make it to the knockout stage of the in-season tournament? I said yes. I thought we would go 4-0 in East Group C. So I thought we'd win East Group C and we'd actually go 4-0 undefeated. Penny, what'd you go with?
So I thought we would go 2-2. So I got this prediction right. But more importantly, the in-season tournament was fun. Hey, do you remember point differential and how pissed off everybody got about that?
Yeah, that was my favorite thing is people didn't, like a lot of the players, it seemed like, didn't know about point differential the first few games. By the time the Magic played, they definitely knew about it. But even then, like, you know, there was that game in Brooklyn where if point differential plays out a little differently, that that whole thing goes a little differently on that final night. But yeah, we fell short. We went 3-1 and missed out on the knockout stage. I mean, it probably ended up working out maybe from a health rest perspective, but it would have been cool to go to Vegas eventually had we made it to the semifinals. But, you know, we didn't make it to the knockout quarterfinals, and that's okay for – I mean, we were in a tough group too with going up against Boston, who has crushed it this year as the best team in the league. So I think it worked out pretty well. But yeah, the in-season tournament was pretty good. Oh, what do you think of this rumor? Well, it's not even a rumor. The Board of Governors are going to vote on it. What do you think now about in-season tournament results playing a higher factor as tiebreakers in the regular season? I fucking hate it. I think the cup should be separate.
I kind of like it because going into the year, they were trying to figure out what's other than cash, what's the best incentive to make this meaningful. Can't really do draft pick because then that kind of eats away at the players are playing to play themselves out of a job. So that doesn't really work. I kind of like it, but I don't like it as the number one deciding factor. I think head to head should remain number one, but I don't see a reason why. I mean, at the end of the day, there's still technically regular season games. So I feel like there should be, there's that little weight of importance to even ratchet up the intensity a little more, and that it may come back to help you down the road. I don't dislike it at all, actually.
Yeah, look, money, draft picks, a guaranteed playoff spot. None of those, I think, would be fitting for winning the season tournament. I think Hardwood Paroxysm tweeted out the right thing where it should be like the third tiebreaker. So it should be head to head, division. And then instead of conference record, it should be in season tournament. Like, I'm fine with that, but
yeah, I can get on board with that too. You as division winners, it's very important that the division tiebreaker remain higher on the list, I guess.
Yeah. And it worked out for us this year. That's for sure. So it definitely played a role in breaking our three-way tie with Philly and the Pacers to where we ended up fifth instead of in the play-in. So, all right. Will the Magic finally finish with a top 20 offense in the league? I said yes. We haven't had a top 20 offense in the league since Dwight left. What was your guess?
Now, naturally, I said no. I thought we'd finish just outside the top 20, which we did. But next year, if we're outside the top 20, then we got some problems to talk about.
Yeah, considering on what we could and might do in the offseason, if we're not in the top 20 next season, there's some questions to be had. But for now, Zach Lowe can keep tracking this and keep doing his victory lap on this fun, well, not fun for us, but fun little stat to keep track of. But, it's fine that we finished 22nd in offensive rating, because we finished second, third best defense in the league. And so I think this is the only time we finished. Some say we finished top two. Some say we top three. I don't know who's basing it off what, but I'm just going to say we finished second defensively. And it'd be the only other time we finished with a top two defense in the league was the 2009 Magic Finals team. So not to say we're going to make the finals, but that was just an interesting tidbit. So, all right. Will the Magic make a sizable trade by the trade deadline? So I actually said no back in October, but obviously for people that listened to the trade deadline show, I thought we were going to make a trade. So I originally was correct. So we're sticking to original predictions. So I'm correct here. What'd you go with?
Yeah, I also went with no, which was the easiest probably prediction for both of us to make based on the track record the last few years. But it felt like we were rolling at the time, and then you go, well, do you want to maximize this season? Should they make a move? But obviously they kept with the plan, and the results speak for themselves.
And we literally did nothing at the deadline. Like, if you look at our transaction history, I think it's Cole Anthony extension, then a bunch of Jet Howard being sent up and sent down between us and Lakeland, and then us and Osceola, and then Jamal Mosley coaching extension, and then Jet Howard up and down again. That's it. Like, we haven't done anything since the offseason, really, roster wise. It's
crazy.
Working out.
Yeah, because like you think back to, obviously the doldrums that we had, and then you look at a team like Memphis this year where I don't know the exact number, but they had over 30 players play a game for them at least this season. So to see a one pager for us in terms of season long transactions, hasn't been like that in a long time.
I kept this mostly out of tradition, but does Jamal Mosley finish out his third season and surpass Jacques Vaughn in games coached? So Mosley at the time was at 164. Jacques Vaughn was at 216. So Mosley needed 53 more games to surpass Jacques Vaughn. I said yes. I'm assuming you said yes.
I said yes too. Obviously, he got extended, so now we put on the Brian Hill, Doc Rivers, Stan Van Gundy watch next,
Yeah,
right?
we're gonna have to do another one, which I don't know. Well, I guess we'd have to tweak the question, I guess, each time. But basically, is Jamal Mosley gonna end up having the most coached games in Magic history? That's gonna be the next one going forward. So, and hey, unlike Jacques Vaughn, Jamal Mosley's in the postseason, so that's he made
And currently employed.
it. That too, All right, over under half Magic players as all-stars. I said over. Penny, what'd you say?
And again, you should be applauded for that. I took the under, which was a bad bet.
So I was over ambitious, but to be fair, I was close still. So I thought it'd be two. And I said it specifically. I said Paolo would get voted in. And then I said Franz was going to get in on an injury replacement. Which I think if Franz's 3-point percentage was better, he would have gotten a very strong look for an injury replacement spot, but it didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, I'll take the victory lap because it was over a half. So, all right. Will either rookie make the All-Star Weekend Rising Stars events or get named to one of the two all-rookie teams at the end of the season? I think we have the answer on all rookie stuff, even though we won't know for a little bit here, but I said no, Penny.
Yeah, I also said no. I think we both were thinking that there wouldn't be enough minutes, and obviously Anthony Black was, thrust into the starting lineup, but maybe had an outside chance to play in the Rising Stars game, but just didn't quite do enough or have enough opportunity.
Yeah, look, I mean, honestly, if Anthony Black was playing as often the last month of the season as he did, during the winter, he might have snuck into a second all NBA team, like, or a second team all rookie team. Like, he might have done that. But yeah, neither was at All Star Weekend. And then yeah, neither's gonna make an all rookie team for obvious reasons. So all right. Over under 37 and a half Magic wins. So at the time we did this, the number was at 35 and a half at the very start of the summer. So people were definitely betting the Magic over that it was at 37 and a half when we talked about it. Penny, I said over. What'd you
You,
say?
yeah, everyone said over. I said over. Everyone except John Hollinger said over.
Yeah.
So I take the win here, but I did predict 39 wins, so I fell quite short of the actual total. Obviously, we all know how close to the pin you were this go around.
Yeah, look, I perfectly nailed it last year. I said 34 and we got to 34. I predicted 45 and 37, so I fell 2 wins short, but that was, I said 45 and 37. I said we'd win the Southeast Division. I said it would be the sixth seed. So I came pretty close. I fell a seed short and I fell 2 wins short. So I'll take the victory lap. I just wish I didn't bet like my mortgage on this over. But knowing me, had I done it, we something would have happened and we would have been under. But still pretty solid prediction for me. I thought we go 3-5 in April, despite the struggles. We closed the month of April 4-4. So I thought it would get jittery and it did, but we prevailed. So that worked out. Here's a fun question, Penny. Because they do these over-unders before the off-season, like free agency transactions begin. What do you think our over-under is going to be in the off-season?
I was thinking about that, and I think you look no further than your Sacramento Kings from last year to this year, where like theoretically they got better, but their record kind of didn't.
Right.
So I early stages, I'd set it at 44, 44 and a half. What do you think?
I'm pounding that over. I think it's going to be like 46 and a half, 47 and a half, because the assumption is we have money to spend and we have this timetable, this 12-month timetable where we have to spend this money because we have extensions that are going to be kicking in here. I think it's going to be something like 46 and a half, 47 and a half, and it's going to be something to think about initially. But again, a lot of it's just going to depend on, one, our playoff run, two, who are we really potentially going to be tied to? Because Jeff Wellman had that very interesting interview recently with Mike Bianchi on 96.9 The Game in the, during the morning show, where Jeff Wellman like spelled it out basically that we kind of have to make moves one way or another. Like he, and this is very positive because we're attractive destination. Like he threw out the culture word because, we have a pretty strong, cohesive bunch right now. And everybody seems to love Jamal. All the players get along. Like we seem like a fun destination at the moment from a playing perspective. So just based off that, especially if we win our first round series against the Cavs, like I think it's, I'll be stunned if the number's below 46. I'll leave it at that. So.
It's interesting because everything has gone to plan since the rebuild occurred with the, Gordon Vucevic and Fournier trades. And this summer, regardless of the postseason, is going to be the inflection point because everything's going to plan, but now you have to ratchet it up and take that next step. And you could get it wrong, but you have to make that step just based on the timeline and the money and everything else. So,
Yeah, and what
and
else?
really, really quick.
Yeah.
What do you think coming off an 0 for 10 play-in performance? What's your take on Klay Thompson as of right this second, obviously getting a lot of national buzz as a target for the Magic over the summer?
Well, the good news is I think the price lowers a bit. Just based off of that game alone, I think you can lower the price. I mean, look, he just turned 34 like in February, so he won't be 35 till next year's trade deadline. He still shot the ball really well. He shot 39%, and like it's not near his career averages, but I think part of that, he's been very unhappy with the Warriors, be it Draymond, be it media, be it a lot of things. Obviously, look, athletically, he's not going to be the same guy because of the surgical procedures and the injuries. Just like, Joe Ingles isn't as agile and skinny and fast as Joe was, 5 years ago because of age and injuries and stuff like that. But I mean, I'm going to ask you, would you rather have Klay Thompson or Gary Harris? Because I would rather have Klay Thompson.
I mean, I think that's a, if you're comparing the two and for the same money, that one's a no-brainer. And you look, just again, really quick, look at the game last night between the Lakers and New Orleans, where the Pelicans have a bunch of guys bombing threes and shooting a good percentage on the season, but there's no gravity with them in the same way that, Thompson had an off year, still 39%, which we'd love to have a couple of those guys on the roster or add to it. But the gravity of a Klay Thompson, even in his twilight years, just to see what kind of impact that would have for Paolo and Franz, I think is worth the gamble, at an appropriate price for sure.
Like I like Klay Thompson. I'd give him 2 for 2 for 50. I'd do it. I would give him. I'd give him 3 for 75 if the third year is a team option. Like I would do that because, one, I mean the cap's spiking and all that, but two, it's not that much more than what you're paying Gary. So, and look, he's either. I mean, he would be a pretty great guy to start next to Suggs if you're going away from having an actual point guard in your starting lineup. Like having a 6'9" Klay Thompson right there at shooting guard, pretty good to have. Like he's, again, like Golden State, they crashed and burned in this 9-10 game. A lot of that is Draymond Green's fault. Like if he didn't miss a bunch of games, as he rightfully should have missed some games here and there, they wouldn't have even been in the play-in. They would have been firmly in the playoffs because I mean, Golden State, they finished what, 27 and like 12 to finish the regular season. Like they really turned it on late when they needed to. But it just wasn't enough because the West is tough. But I like Klay Thompson, man. Klay Thompson's a good dude. Klay Thompson, if in a locker room, would be great. I don't know if Joe Ingles' contract is gonna stick around, is gonna stick around if you're gonna pay him for 11 million or if he's gonna end up retiring and he joins the organization or the staff. I'm fine paying Joe Ingles another year, but if you're getting rid of Gary Harris, you need another vet. You need another vet. And if Klay Thompson's the guy, I'm more than fine with. I just think when you've won four titles with an organization, like you should stay with that organization your entire career. Like you're a legend. You shouldn't have to fucking leave. But You know, if that's going to be up to Clay, and then who knows if, you know, what he's thinking. Because honestly, again, it could be a breath of fresh air if he leaves California and comes over to Orlando, where the media market isn't the same pressures. You're going to earn a lot more money than you would with the taxes that you get in California. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't know if you got any more on that.
No, I think that's perfectly said. And you know, I hate for us to pile on to the national media discourse, but it seems like it could be a perfect fit for everybody involved.
So, I mean, that's a rumor that I wouldn't mind being true. Like, okay, would you rather have Klay Thompson or Malik Monk? Because I would rather have Klay Thompson, because I look at Cole Anthony and he could eventually be Malik Monk. He just needs more experience under his belt. Whereas Klay Thompson, we don't have one of those.
Yeah, I think, and again, like if you're committing to Monk, that's a much longer deal than the Klay Thompson deal. Like Klay Thompson can hold down that role for, you know, we'll say 2 years, and then you're actively looking for the next bridge after that too.
All right, next one. Will the Magic make the playoffs? Be it the play-in or straight up. So I left that open. I said yes. I said succeed. I'm very happy I fell a seed short in my predictions. What did you predict, Penny?
So I thought that they would make the play-in as the ninth seed. So technically, we're going to call that one a win.
Yep, you can check it
But
off.
the interesting thing is that my 39 win prediction and your 45 win
Fell
prediction,
short.
both of those would have put the Magic in the ninth seed
Yeah.
if that was the actual win total. So we talked again about, you know, how much parity there was in the NBA last season, that for me kind of impacted my prediction for this season, and there was even more parity this year than last year, you know, to an extent that we really haven't ever seen ever.
Yeah, no, this was historic parity. Like, I've in our lifetimes, we've never seen this type of parity in the East. You know, it's a couple of things happened. Like, you had some really shitty teams in the East, but then those top two, three seeds, like the top seed should have been Boston, but then two and three should have been Milwaukee and Philly, and especially Philly. Like, Embiid lost a lot of time. You know, Milwaukee just cratered. Like, they should have finished with like 55 wins, and they fell short of that. So because of that, everybody like bunched up, where usually if you go like 42 and 40, that's good enough for the eight seed. Whereas that nowhere near close to that. Like, literally you had to get 47 wins just to be in the top seven. Like, that's insane. So yeah, you're right. I mean, it was just crazy parity. And I think next season it's gonna balance a bit because there's like better draft prospects out there with like Cooper Flagg and stuff like that, but we'll see how that pans out. Whereas this draft, there's nobody that's a con you know, that's like a consensus number one pick. So all right, well, I can go quick with this. Will the Magic win the division? I said yes. I said we would beat Miami by a game, and I nailed it, but I didn't think it would be like this.
You called it exactly. I think you wavered between winning on a tiebreaker
Or
or
game,
winning by
yeah.
one game. So you got it exactly. I had the Heat finishing a touch in front of the Magic, so I missed that one.
Yeah. All right. So who leads the Magic in points per game? I said Paolo. Who'd you say, Penny?
So I also said Paolo, and I think we targeted between 22 and 23, and he would he fi finish at 22 and a
22,
half 20,
22.6. So yeah, we did pretty good with that. Franz was second at 19.7, and then you had to drop down a ways to get the Suggs to his third at 12.6 points per game. But this is the first time in NBA history a 45 plus win team has been led by three guys with that average 22. Yeah, where the top three scorers are 22 years of age or younger. So that was pretty crazy. All right, who will be the Magic's MVP? I cede the floor to you first before I explain my embarrassing pick.
I went the safe route here. I went with Paolo Banchero, who ended up leading the team in scoring, rebounding, and assists. So I think it's hard to argue any other player other than him as the MVP for this year.
Yeah, he won the MVP. There's not like there's not a doubt on that one. So I said Markelle Fultz. So I definitely got that one wrong. I almost picked Franz, which I would have been wrong as well. But it would have been a much more respectable pick. But I don't know. I kind of knew what we were gonna get from Paolo and Franz, which is basically kind of what we got from both the two of them. But I thought Bolts' improvement is what would make us a playoff team. And we ended up not needing it because our team did not believe in a true point guard out there. And just Markel just never could get it together because of injury issues. Like we know about the knee, but maybe there was some thoracic outlet syndrome there going on. But, that wasn't publicly mentioned. So just Markel, and I'm not going to comment on his future because he could have a solid postseason that could change a lot of things. But right now, it's not looking great for Markel from a contract perspective, from a Magic future perspective. But we'll see. Because I mean, during this tough stretch, Markel actually wasn't playing too bad. He was hitting some threes here and there as well. So again, we're going to see how he does in this Cavs series because we're going to need his size to bully guys like Garland and Mitchell around.
There's an argument to be made that he could still be a great backup point guard on this team. There's a place for him as a reserve on this team, but I have interesting thoughts in our next episode about the playoff scenario with him that are different than I thought the last time that we kind of were projecting into the future.
Okay. All right. Will the Magic, or sorry, will a Magic player or coach win a season award? I said no. So I said award. So I'm assuming I left out all NBA or all defensive teams, but I don't know. I said no. What'd you say?
Yeah, I said no. I guess on technicality, the jury's still out on the all defense teams and NBA teams if we're counting that. But I said no. You were correct that you thought if the Magic met the win total, that Mosley would be in the conversation for Coach of the Year, which I think is accurate, but not going to sniff a win.
Yeah, look, we don't know yet, but Dagnall's going to win Coach of the Year because OKC's the number one seed in the West. Now, I'm hearing a lot of Jamal Mosley second and third, which is good. So he should, I think Jamal's going to finish top three. It's just he's not going to win the award. Now, I think what, like, if we're looking, getting teams involved, Paolo's going to fall short of all NBA third team. Suggs seems to be a lock for all defensive team. It's just a matter of first or second team, but I don't know if anything else was on your radar because like Cole, I saw fell short. I saw John Hollinger put Jonathan Isaac third on his sixth man of the year vote. So that was fascinating because his plus
Now
minus is crazy.
he's not eligible,
I
right?
don't know. I mean, for him to say that, maybe he is eligible. I don't know how
Because
that works.
there was the whole thing about Dante DiVincenzo being like 15 seconds short of
Yeah,
eligibility
that's
versus
kind
the
of
other person.
crazy, and that's something
Yeah.
that's going to have to be looked into further a little bit there. Like I don't mind the 65 game threshold,
Yeah.
but the thing with the minutes is a little wonky there. But all right. Do I even go over any of the gambling stuff? I don't know. I don't need to because you didn't put any bets, right?
I didn't. You're going to line your pockets with literally tens of dollars, though, with
Tens of
your.
dollars because I'm putting like dollar bets on stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. That's fine. All right. So looking at our final East standing predictions, I had the Bucks finishing first, Boston second, Philly third, Knicks fourth, Cavs fifth, Magic sixth, Heat seventh, Pacers eighth, Bulls ninth, Hawks 10th. So I got the Bulls and the Hawks right. Raptors 11th. And I thought they should blow it up, which they basically are. Nets 12th, Pistons 13th, Wizards 14th, Hornets 15th. So some moving around there, but I mean, I got the top 10 right. So that's all that matters really, as far as all these guys are either in the playoffs or in the play-in. I mean, the big one was Philly's 7th instead of 3rd, and if Embiid would have stayed healthy, Philly probably ends up finishing 2nd because the Bucks, who I had finishing 1st, they ruined. I had like this multi-team over-under parlay, and the Bucks ruined it by not reaching the, I think it was like 55 number of wins. And that's overall, I think I did okay. I don't know. How about you, Penny?
Yeah, you did a little bit better than me. I think we can both blame Doc Rivers here, but I had the Celtics first, followed by the Bucks, then the Knicks. Had the Sixers fourth, which obviously injuries totally derailed them.
Hey, you got the
Cavs at
actual top
five.
three. I didn't, so that's good.
Cavs at five, Heat at six, Pacers seven. I had the Nets at eight. I thought they'd fare a lot better than they did. then Hawks Magic, and then Bulls, and then the bottom dwellers kind of mixed around Hornets, Wizards, and Pistons.
All right, but yeah, that's it for our season predictions. You know, we'll talk about kind of a little bit of playoff related news a little bit here, like the playoff schedule. But I don't know, any other thoughts on these season predictions, Penny? We're getting better at these overall, I think.
it's been all uphill since I predicted a 50 win season in 2002-2003.
There we go. All right, let's talk Magic playoff stuff. So the Magic playoff slogan this year is "Everybody In," which the slogan itself is fine. I'm not sure I cared about the long dialogue version of it, the long text version of it, or the video that went with it. I'm so spoiled with Philadelphia sports, like Twitter, playoff intro pump up type videos. Like, it's Philly sports is so fucking good at those, man. Whereas just the Magic, I just don't, they haven't quite figured the video part out yet, but the slogan itself is fine. Everybody In. Who knows what playoff song we're going to go with, but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think as a generic slogan, you're exactly right. It's perfectly fine. I'm glad that they did not brush off, you know, Blue and White Ignite. Again, I think a new campaign is warranted, and it's certainly a lot better than Code Blue.
Yeah, that's very true. Anything's probably better than Code Blue, most likely. But all right, so the playoff schedule did get released late Tuesday night. So it took some results for that to finally happen. But the Magic, they play game one Saturday, April 20th in Cleveland at 1 p.m. That's an ESPN game. Monday, so that's one day of rest. Monday, April 22nd is game two in Cleveland, 7 p.m. NBA TV. Then you get 2 days off going into Thursday, April 25th. The first Magic home game of this series for game three. That's a 7 p.m. tip again on NBA TV. Saturday, April 27th, Cavs Magic in Orlando, game four, 1 p.m. TNT. So Europe wins in this. Our European friends definitely win this. Our Australian Magic fans get kind of shafted a little bit here. And then, you know, depending on your preference for, do you like 1 o'clock playoff games? I actually do. Because that can lead to some good times before and after. But I don't know, thoughts on the schedule. Obviously, we knew we would get the two midweek NBA TV games. You know, look, games 5, 6, and 7 are Tuesday, April 30th, Friday, May 3rd, and then Sunday, May 5th, should we need a game 7. We don't know times or TV yet on those. Just depends on how this series and other series go. But what do we think of the schedule, especially game one being a 1 p.m. game? There's going to be a Magic watch party at Wall Street for game one for certain. And it's going to be like 94 degrees is the high for Saturday, I believe. So it's going to be toasty in Orlando. So anybody that's going to be outside, just please hydrate, because, you know, that first big heat of the year kind of sneaks up on people if you're not used to it like we are. But thoughts on the schedule, Penny?
Well, first of all, in terms of the weather, coming at a real inopportune time for a big sweaty guy here to show up Saturday, where we'll be watching at the watch party with everyone else. But not unsurprising with the schedule. I figured, since, you know, we were already locked in as the NBA was awaiting the results of the play-in games and teams, that we'd probably start Saturday afternoon. I don't hate it. In fact, I really like it. Feels more like the playoffs when you're playing when it's light outside. And I'm a big fan of the red, white, and blue bunting. Just makes it feel more festive. So schedule's cool with me. We do get the, you know, buffer as we change cities, at least to start. So everything seems to be lining up kind of as expected. And you know, we got a real shot here.
Yeah, look, for Saturday, obviously we were talking about it, but had this been like the 6 p.m. tip, I think you and I would have went to Cleveland for both games, because the playoff tickets are way, way cheaper than the prices are here for the Orlando home games. But just that 1 p.m. tip, it's too soon for the flights and the driving needed to get there in time for it if we were to leave Saturday morning. So maybe, depending on how the series goes, We might look at, I don't know, maybe a game seven. I doubt we could do game five. It'd be probably maybe game seven, and that's on Greek Easter, so that's going to be tough for me to get away for that. But we'll see how the series goes. Hopefully, we won't need seven. But good news is the Athletics' Josh Robbins is covering the Magic during our playoff run, so he's going to be in Cleveland starting game one. So that's going to be cool to have his coverage of it. Yeah, thoughts on any of that I said?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get somebody reassigned to the beat that is, intimately familiar with the team and the organization. So hoping for good coverage there, in addition to the solid coverage that we've seen this year from, traditional Orlando Sentinel, as well as all of the other local coverage that we know and love.
All right, so we're going to do a playoff preview next episode. But real quick, Benny, I'm throwing this at you. But Team USA finalized their 12-man roster already for the Paris Olympics that start in late July and end in mid-April or mid-August. So if basically you would get 6 weeks off between the end of the Olympics and the start of the NBA training camps, that's something to keep in mind from a rest perspective. It's way friendlier rest-wise than say like a FIBA World Cup or a Eurobasket, but Paolo did not make the 12-man roster for right now. I just think it's in general to finalize a roster now, like it's just insane from just a process perspective. And I would still bet that Paolo's going to make the team because I'm predicting that three guys are going to pull out for the U.S. by the time the postseason's over, be it because of injury or other reasons. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, not surprised that he didn't make the initial cut. Obviously, they're prioritizing, legendary superstars taking one final run at it, so which is fine. But I do think that there is going to be, I'd be interested to see who the pool of replacement players are for injury or other reasons, because you would think, I agree, Paolo would be on the short list. It was funny that Jaren Jackson Jr. was campaigning really hard to be on the team. I don't feel like his play over last summer necessarily warrants further consideration.
No, he was garbage. He's the reason why Paolo had to play center basically for the entire time because Walker Kessler wasn't ready for it. So, yeah, look, I see Magic fans talking about how, oh, they want guys not to play in the Olympics. They want them to rest. Fuck that. They get plenty of rest between the end of the season and then even if you make a deep playoff run, you still get rest because, again, the Olympics, it's a short period. You're playing games like July 27th, and the final, the gold medal game and gold and bronze medal games are like August 10th. Like you're in and out quickly, and you got to do like a month of prep, maybe. That's it. And you're going to be well rested well after that. And we made the playoffs because we had all these guys playing the FIBA World Cup. We had Paolo, we had Franz, we had Mo, we had Joe, we had Goga, we had all these guys competing in the FIBA World Cup. And just because they're playing for their national teams does not mean that they're not also working on their individual games. Like we had guys helping Paolo do his individual work. We had Brett Brielmeier on the German national team coaching staff helping with Franz and Mo. Like, come on. Like people just that's how you get better is by competing this, not freaking lounging around here in the States, taking all these shitty ass weak open runs and stuff. Like, that's not how you improve. Like, you improve by fucking competing. So that's all I got for that. I don't know if you got anything
I
else
think
and you want to get out of
it's
here.
hard to top that, but I mean, really now's the time because the next cycle, theoretically, the Magic are going to be making deep playoff runs every year. And then's when you should be more concerned about, rest, not now.
Yeah, true. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. If you're still listening, we thank you very much for your time. We are the longest running Magic podcast show in existence, so any added support is much appreciated. Subscribing, rating the show highly, positive comments all help the podcast ranking immensely. Tweet us any of your questions and feedback. Penny, what's your Twitter handle?
At Spencer Strode.
No C's, just S's. And I'm at Papa Giorgio MBO. And with that, take care. Let's go, Magic.